All right, good evening, everyone. We'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the meeting May 3rd, 2023, our Board of Supervisors meeting. And we welcome you, we welcome staff. We have two students here and we welcome them. We welcome people who are on the Zoom and people use the phone too sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah, and if anyone's on the telephone. We want to stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance in a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First on the agenda is adoption of the agenda.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I bring up one discussion item under new business? And it's the item is Board of Supervisors salary increase.
Okay.
And then I'll go deeper into it during that piece.
Okay.
When are you going to go through that?
New business.
New business.
Yeah. And it's there's no decision. It's kind of just some discussion for the board to give staff direction.
Okay. All right. May I have a motion, please?
I move that we adopt the agenda with one addition to new business.
Okay.
Second.
All right. It has been motioned by Mrs. Eager and seconded by Mr. Fairchild. We adopt the agenda and adding the new item in new business. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye. Next, County Administrator's report.
Yep. Madam Chair, members of the board, got a few things to report on. Let's see here. So, the belated birthday boy is not here. So, happiest of belated birthdays to Mr. O'Brien. Like I said, we'll.
I heard a joke. There he is.
There we go. Happy belated birthday.
And Mr. Weaver had a birthday on the 20th. Nice, and I called him on his birthday.
29.
Yeah.
Mr. Weaver,
at the party that next day.
Mr. Weaver and Willie Nelson?
Huh?
Mr. Willer, Weaver and Willie Nelson?
Oh, yeah? Oh, it's his birthday.
He's got Mr. Weaver.
Thank you. How do you do?
Good.
All right.
A little creaky, though.
Okay.
70's tough.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Happy belated. The last couple of years, it seems like we forget in advance, and maybe because like the budget adoption is happening that day and our minds are elsewhere. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
We got a couple new staff members, Robert R.J. Shiflett, Jr. This shouldn't say communications officer because he's not a communications officer. It's ground maintenance worker one. He started May 1st. For the Public Works Department. And then Jim True is under the Emergency Service Department. He is the EMS supervisor, and he started in his new role April 24th and getting all ramped up for trying to get our 17 plus EMS providers hired and everything, and everything to go in with starting up that new department. So the Palmyra boat landing, so I got a couple pictures here to your right. So the Virginia Department of Wildlife finished the renovations on the Palmyra boat landing right there. So you can see some pictures. The top picture is just kind of showing you from where you are up by the old, what was it? I can't remember what the restaurant was called.
Yeah, I know.
It's
been 2 days.
Two J's
first run, I think,
right.
A couple things.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of looking down on there. And then you can see here what they made is kind of a, I think they call it zero entry into the river, so you don't have the big kind of steps and difficulty getting in. I talked to some folks in building today and planning, and there's a little erosion happening right there, I think, because of the big rain, but I'm sure some folks will take a look at that and make sure that gets corrected. But again, it looks nice, and you know, prime time for kayaking and canoe season to start.
And
so.
On the side there, that's advertisement where they.
The little kind of kiosk right there, that just kind of gives information.
Right.
And truth be told, I didn't look that closely on it to see what was up there at the moment. But I was looking for Mr. Spitzer, and he's not here right now. But anyway, yeah, that usually a little kiosk, and maybe it's for maps and stuff like that.
Any safety gear there at all?
Safety gear?
Yeah, like ring to throw out if necessary, that kind of stuff.
I didn't see
any. No, I mean, I went around there. I didn't see any safety gear.
If you got to run up to that hill to that kiosk to grab it and then get back down.
Yeah, well, they've already gone down. No, I was thinking more along the line.
Meet him at the danger.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see anything there. But again, I will say this, having taken my kayak out at that boat landing many times, having that zero entry will be a whole lot easier to get out of than what it used to be.
I thought it looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And then it would probably be a lot safer too for the people. So the carnival at Pleasant Grove Park is coming up May 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th at Pleasant Grove Park. Free entry, free parking. Rides are $1 per ticket, or you can get $20 armbands. So Wednesday, May 10th, it's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday, May 11th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Friday, May 12th, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then on Saturday, on May 13th, they do 10 to 3 and then 5 to 10. For more information, please contact Savannah County Parks and Rec for more information at 434-589-2016. And the Children's Fair was Saturday, April 29th. There were over 201 people in attendance and 24 vendor tables. Lots of great information and resources. Sheriff's Office did fingerprinting. Fire truck from Fork Union Fire was there. Balloon art, magicians, bounce house, all sorts of goodies, freebies, popcorn, candy. Big thank you to Rocky Reed, the family services supervisor, who kind of put all the hard work in to coordinate this year's fair. So, like I said, it was another good event. And then a little employee recognition of Sheriff Hess and Captain Sean Peterson, who've earned their Virginia Sheriff's Institute certification. Sheriff Hess was also recognized for being selected among his peers to serve on the board of directors for VSI, the Virginia Sheriff's Institute. So that the VSI program promotes and recognizes and elevates professional development for the Sheriff's Association and deputies. And again, for just the Sheriff's Office and specifically Sheriff Hess and Captain Peterson, a good thing to put Fluvanna County out there, for having our two individuals kind of stepping up and getting their certification. So congratulations to them. And some upcoming meetings we have. Wednesday, May 17th, we have a 7 p.m. regular meeting. Wednesday, June 7th, a 5 p.m. regular meeting. And then Wednesday, June 21st, we have a 7 p.m. regular meeting, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Eric? Okay, if not, thank you, Eric, for the report. Good evening, Mr. Sheriff. Now I'd like to open the first public comments. If you'd like to talk to the board, please come to the lectern and give your name and address. Why is this picking me up? I feel like I'm talking to myself. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Come to the lectern, give your name and address, and speak to the board. You have 5 minutes. Anyone would like to speak? Anyone online?
Don't see anyone online unmuting.
Okay, if not, then I will close the first public comments. Okay, we do not have a public hearing. We're going to the action matters, and the first one is the proclamation, May 2023, Old Americans Month, and we have the Chief Executive Officer of JAVA here, Marta Keene. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for considering the proclamation. I know you all have it in front of you. I think the key parts are just the idea that we appreciate the wisdom and the experience that seniors bring, and that we not get caught in the stereotypes and the ways in which we might limit what we think seniors bring to the community. And so May is National Older Americans Month, and for that we would love for you all to commit to that or make that statement in the proclamation. You've always been a county, at least in my 10 years at Java, that have been very supportive of seniors. We appreciate a great collaboration with Parks and Rec as they deliver the programs at the senior centers. And I think it just continues to be an area, as you know, that is growing. You have a good percentage of seniors now, and that's just going to get better and better because people are aging and staying longer and healthier. And so I would just put that before you to consider.
Okay. The age for to consider seniors is 55 up.
Well, AARP says that because I think they like members.
I get to play for my gold tees now. After you hit 55, you get to play for the gold tees.
Oh, well, there you go. So, see, maybe that is the number.
Yeah.
Usually when we look at the statistics and the ones that we use here are 60, that's what Weldon Cooper considers. So we're looking at 60.
Right. Oh, okay. All right.
Sonia, did you make the cut with the numbers?
still safe.
Oh, all right. We don't have to change like the number yet.
Well, I'm 21 years past, and I'm proud of it. Okay, any questions for Marty? We appreciate it. Appreciate all you do at Java.
Absolutely.
I've been there about 15 years, so I know all the things that you all do.
Well, thank you. We appreciate all your support. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to mention the context of all this.
Yes.
The Nahor Village being our only true retirement community in Fluvanna County, over the past year and something, 2 years, man, I have gotten to see the gift that we've all had in having that group of people with such life experiences and such life knowledge that they bring to the table. It's been powerful, for lack of a better word. So.
Yeah, and I know a lot of places, schools would have speaker bureaus, and they would pull on senior citizens to come in with their, at that time they had slides of all the traveling they had done. International Day, where they took the students through all countries. And I think we need to reach back and pull on those experiences. We have scientists and people, doctors and people who have a lot of wisdom and forming relationships, young people with older people is it's a gift. When you take kids to like nursing home, you see people in wheelchairs, they can go up to them and they can hug them, and we've had a pair of kids who went to Vietnam Wars, World War II, and it's just so much history that they can share. So I hope we'll be able to do that in the future. So thank you.
Thank you.
A motion?
I'd like to make a motion.
Please. Thank you.
I move the Board of Supervisors proclaim May 2023 Older Americans Month.
We have a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Mrs. Eager and a second by Mr. Fairchild. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Act B, we have Public Service Recognition Week. Kelly?
Good evening.
Good evening.
So, 6 or 8 months ago, I got a wild hair. Well, clearly, I always have a wild hair. And talked to Donna Snow, our HR director, and said, you know, I think we need something, excuse me, some sort of morale thing for the employees. We need a reset button. And I got to looking around, and I found this thing called Public Service Week, which has been around since 1985 when Congress set aside that week, first week of May, as public service. And she said, I think it's great. Let's do it. No problem. It's open enrollment. Have at it. Let me know how it goes. So I did. And I would like to ask the board's consideration to proclaim next week Public Service Week or Public Service Employees Recognition Week as a kickoff to a whole week of activities that I have planned that hopefully will go really well. So Congress did set it aside in 1985 as Public Service Week, primarily at the federal level, and then that has come on down to state, local, tribal as well. And I am reading directly from what it says on the website. Throughout the nation and world, public servants use this occasion to educate others about the work they do and why they have chosen public service careers, as well as the many ways government services make life better for all of us. I'm not sure very many people go around telling them why they like working for local government. I love it. It was an absolute chance finding for me, but I love my job, and I don't think I would have the reach into the community in any other type of job. Teaching, yes, but that's also public servants. So next week, you will see banners throughout the county. There will be three of them. I have some fun stuff. The middle picture here is actually the flyer that went out to employees today. There will be Employee Spirit Week, so each day next week we'll have a theme. There will be Memorabilia Monday. I don't do sports, so it's not sports teams. It's whatever your memorabilia is. For me, it'll probably be national parks. Tuesday will be Tie-Dye Tuesday, and I realize I don't own a single piece of tie-dye, so I got to take care of that. Wacky Wednesday, Throwback Thursday, and then on Friday there will be a picnic at Pleasant Grove. It's just a picnic. It's not a program like we do in the holidays. It's just to come out and eat good food, good fun. The carnival will be in town, as was mentioned earlier, and they've agreed to open the rides for the employees only from 12 to 2 during the picnic. So just a lot of fun. Please come if you're able. Wahoo Barbecue will be doing the grilling. There won't be barbecue, but there will be grilling. So we should have I'm hoping to have a really good time. Keep fingers crossed for no rain. And there is a proclamation that goes along with this. I can't see it well enough to read it, but it is there in front of you. So,
and I could pull up the proclamation. And again, yeah, like I said, we can send this out to the board if you want to stop by. And again, nothing, no big program, just you know, a chance to kind of just recognize employees and just.
Would you pull up the proclamation? Yep.
And there will be a couple of other little surprises during the week as well.
Got a great proclamation.
That's great. Hmm? I think it's great.
I do too.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of people think that they tie government and they assume the negativity of it, and they don't recognize how much public service does for their community.
Yeah, and I think we realized, you know, I say somebody needs to write a book called The Gifts of COVID, because I think if we learned nothing else, we learned how every single job is important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we could not do our jobs without every single person that works for the county, and that's true in most jobs.
And you know, next year you probably could grow it into kind of a fair have high school kids come in and talk to you about what you do for the county.
I'm hoping.
So you can put your thinking cap on again.
Oh, it's been on.
Well, would you read the proclamation, please?
I will read that. Whereas Americans are served every day at the federal, state, county, and city levels by public servants who do the work that keeps our nation working, and whereas public employees serve in areas such as constitutional offices, administration, education, public safety, finance, public infrastructure, community planning, recreation, human services, and more, and whereas day in and day out they provide the diverse services demanded by the American people of their government with efficiency, integrity, and good humor, and whereas without these public servants at every level, continuity would be impossible in a democracy that regularly changes its leaders and elected officials. Now, therefore, the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors does hereby announce and proclaim to all residents that May 7th through the 13th, 2023 is Public Service Recognition Week in the County of Flavanna, and does hereby encourage all county residents to recognize the accomplishments and contributions of the employees of the County of Flavanna.
All right, and we have a motion.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, please.
And you had public safety in there. Would that include fire department and the rescue squad also?
I don't see why not. This is specifically employees.
The only thing I would add there is not only employees, but employees and volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, it's really Public Service Recognition Week. I mean, yeah, so.
So, but then, and not that it shouldn't be, but then is it all volunteers? Where do we go with that, of who we're recognizing?
Whatever.
No, it's
whatever word you want to put there, be fine.
No, it's not whatever, though. I'm wondering what you're thinking. You're the one
who brought it up. We talk public safety, and public safety includes rescue squad and volunteers. It's followed fire department. So I don't know how far else y'all want to go there.
Okay.
When I wrote it, public safety did include those. In my head.
Yeah.
Mr. Payne just whispered public safety volunteers. I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me.
I think that's
that language would be consistent with a conventional understanding that emergency medical people and the firefighters would be included in that term. So I think that would solve the problem.
Right.
I understand Mr. Fairchild's problem, and I think this solves.
Yeah. So we're saying we add public service and fire department.
Public safety.
Public safety just covers.
Covers yeah. all of them.
Just make sure they know they're included.
Okay.
Sure.
You don't even have to add anything.
Okay. And I, yeah. So is everyone satisfied with that conclusion?
Yep.
Then let's have a motion, please.
I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors proclaims May 7th through the 13th, 2023, as Public Service Recognition Week.
And second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Mrs. Eager and a second by Mr. O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. C, resolution of support of opioid abatement authority grant application. Kelly?
Me again. Several months ago, I don't remember her name. Someone from Region 10 contacted us about funds that are available through the Virginia Opioid Abatement Authority that is different from the money that is allocated for localities and can be applied for if there's a regional effort for programs that are expansion of programs, and I believe in this case they can be used in programs that are already in place, but don't quote me on that one. So what the Region 10 is seeking is simply a letter of support. There was a lot of back and forth. This was a resolution, and there was one thing or the other, and I clarified this is a letter of support, and that is all that this is. Anything can change between now and when the grant is hopefully awarded. The amount that they are hoping to receive is $1,711,325. There are no local dollars as part of this. This is all part of the opioid abatement, or the opioid settlement. And the way the money was distributed, the authority gets it, and then 30% is set aside for the localities, and then there's this other 15% pot that regional groups. So Region 10 is hoping to get all of its, all of the jurisdictions that they serve. I think there are six. We are the last one to ask for, that they are asking for this support. So did I include the...
Which one?
The resolution, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the resolution is right here.
And we read that resolution.
This is really just a letter of support, though the language is a little more formal sounding than that. I did clarify with them. This is only something that they're going to put in their application, their grant application package. They've been in close communication with the Opioid Abatement Authority about what would improve their chances. Having all six jurisdictions supporting this would help. They're one of the first to get in on this first round of it, so they're very hopeful that they will get it. This will expand services in Fluvanna County, as well as all of their jurisdictions, but we will directly benefit from this.
Mm-hmm. So Region 10
Madam Chairman, can I just say a word about the Opioid Abatement Authority? That's a separate body established by statute, and it is a named party to the same settlements in which we've been participating. There's a separate pot of money, a separate portion of that money that's attributed to the Opioid Authority. So it doesn't come out of the share that comes to us or any of the other participating localities. It's money that goes to the authority and then the authority has to spend it.
And it goes to the authority from the drug companies, is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So is none of this government money?
Nope. No. Okay. No, this is coming directly from distributors, pharmaceutical makers, and all that going into these funds.
Yeah, they gain all of the
millions and millions.
That's a big class action lawsuit.
You all may not remember this, but these suits were filed by certain entities, including the Commonwealth, on behalf of the Opioid Authority, and I think there's another portion for the Commonwealth unrestricted. And then once they had gotten to the point of the settlement, the Attorney General arranged to basically offer a place at the table for whatever jurisdictions wanted to take. It would settle any possible claim they had but it would give them a share of the settlement money without having to file their own lawsuits. That's the way this came about.
And the county, too, is getting its own separate pot of money, specifically all localities are, and we still need to bring something to the board, and there's discussions on how Fluvanna can utilize the funds that it's receiving, and there's some very specific guidelines for how it can be used. But again, there's billions and billions of dollars out there from these opioid settlements, from, you know, just... I would say
$55 billion.
What's that?
$55 billion.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
So we just need to make a.
Yep, it's just a motion.
Mm-hmm. I make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors adopt a resolution in support of grant application to the Opioid Abatement Authority to fund opioid abatement programming on behalf of the Region 10 Community Service and the Board.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
All right, I have a motion by Mr. Fairchild, second by Mrs. Eber. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
And Sheriff Hess, and you're in the building, aren't you, Sheriff Hess?
Yeah, he's back there.
Yeah, we just honored you. You were away on your conference for a week, and we honored you, and was it another staff member?
Yourself and Mr. Peterson for your certification.
And Mr. Peterson on your recognition. Okay, come on down.
Y'all are saying that they're certifiable.
You're finally, thank goodness, you're finally certified, sir.
Yes, ma'am. It was it's a course offered through the Virginia Sheriff Institute and the Wilder School at VCI, not VCU, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And there are certain courses in leadership, ethics, community policing, all kinds of certain classes that you have to take and certain education requirements as far as degrees and stuff like that. But yeah, it took me 4 years, but I finally found all the classes.
That's
the hardest.
Like going to college.
Well, the hardest, I had it done last year, but I was missing 2 hours of ethics. Mm-hmm. So you can't just take the same you can't take the same class over and over. So you had to go out and find something else that was ethics. So yes, ma'am. But it's very good.
And congratulations to the appointment of the board.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Okay. All right. We do not have any appointments. And we have a presentation, a very lengthy presentation.
No, it's not lengthy. The presentation is lengthy, but the discussion could be as long as you want it to be or as short as you want it to be.
I read so much, and, some of it I thought, my goodness. I don't know whether I understand.
My presentation is short, but again, we'll go into kind of the deeper piece of it a little bit. I mean, so again, some time ago the board asked, we've come back in this big discussion about signs and trash and all that stuff. So again, VDOT has a program, and again, we had talked about eliminating or imposing penalties for temporary signs, and one meeting we had asked, I think when Scott Thornton was here for VDOT, if they could do anything, and he wasn't sure. He did get back to me, and they do have a program where they've got a mechanism in place to do that, but localities would need to enter into an agreement with VDOT, therefore, which would allow VDOT to levy a $100 civil penalty for signs in the right-of-way. Now, kind of some of the process of that is, it puts some of the onus on the county to kind of monitor that. So let me just kind of go to VDOT's docs up ahead. I don't know why it's, there we go. So it talks about removal of illegal signs, what has to be done, the process, prioritization. It's very specific about political signs too. If political signs are in the right of way, there is a extra degree of some notice to be had on those. But again, any sign that's in a VDOT right of way, those signs would be applicable. Now, there from political signs, there may be some notice ahead of time prior to just going out there and issuing a $100 fine.
What's considered a VDOT right of way? How many? How does that look?
So it's a little different. The right-of-ways for different roadways are different,
right.
And that's a little bit of the tricky piece, because sometimes a VDOT right-of-way can be 30 feet, can be 50 feet. You know, every road's a little different. And so that would be a little bit of the nuance of from a staff standpoint. Because, again, what would happen is staff would have – and let me move to the form here. Let's see here. So here, there's this thing about, you know, staff would have to fill out something and send it to VDOT. We'd have to take a picture of the sign. We'd have to fill out the information, you know, where it is, so on and so forth. And then we'd submit that to VDOT. Now, from the board standpoint, there may be some things that we want to do. I mean, again, we could start just issuing notices right away, or maybe give some advance notice on some signs prior to, you know, immediately sending signs into VDOT for levying a $100 fine, and it's per sign. So if someone's got 30 signs out in the VDOT right away in Fluvanna County, it's $100 per sign.
How do they levy that? How would they get that money?
They end up, the ultimate enforcement would be the general district court.
And who would get that money?
As I recall, if the VDOT people are doing the enforcement, it goes to VDOT's,
I think it's the maintenance and construction fund.
Mm-hmm. If the county does, the portion of it goes to the county. That's the bottom line on this is really simple, and that is there's a statute that specifically authorizes VDOT to do this, and it prescribes pretty much the procedure and that sort of thing, and allows the civil penalties. The only thing that you're being asked to consider is the portion of the statute, which is a little unusual, which allows the county to enter into this agreement with VDOT, whereby the county's enforcement authorities, like whoever we want to designate, the zoning inspectors could do it, the deputies could do it, any number of people could do it. The advantage of it, from the county's perspective, is that VDOT obviously has a lot of irons in the fire, and I suspect, based on
as does the county,
VDOT resident administrator said last time, this is not high on their enforcement priorities, and they're happy to do it, but they have to work it in with everything else. This would allow another force of people, that is county, Perkins County officials, to assist in that activity. So it's unusual for a statute to delegate authority to a locality when it's VDOT's authority. And I think this is exactly what the General Assembly had in mind. With this kind of thing is exactly what they had in mind when they adopted the statute this way.
And just for your reference, what was in the board package again? You know, I put some items from the ordinance about, you know, some of the most recent changes we've had regarding, you know, some of the political signs, you know, taking away the 60-day, you know, the threshold for putting signs out in advance of 60 days, and some definitions. Again, there's the ordinance of the sign, and then there's definitions of all the different types of signs that are out there. And again, that was just some back reference for the board, just for your, you know, interest, if you wanted to see what something specifically meant as it pertains to our
ordinance. Essential to
we don't need to do all of those.
No, that was just more of a reference piece. But again, if the board, and there's no action on this, we want to bring it to the board saying there is a mechanism in place to do this. But if we do that, there is this agreement between VDOT and the Board of Supervisors, and if the board wanted to move forward with that, we would bring this agreement back before the board for formal action.
I want the board to understand that this agreement is not mandatory. It is VDOT's primary obligation to enforce the statute, and VDOT will do that. As it can work in with other things. All this does is authorize the county to act similarly.
Mm-hmm. Because I know.
But either one party does it, or the other party does it. Either one party does it, or the other.
No, that wouldn't relieve VDOT of the obligation.
Yeah.
Right.
But it would be just supplementary.
Because I know I've had campaign signs taken up years ago, and they would take them over to the VDOT place.
Oh, so VDOT residency right on 15.
Nephew work over there, so either he'd bring them to me or they would go in the trash.
Yeah.
And
to retrieve them.
So when Scott had said that, I thought I understood him to say the last time that they didn't have at their disposal. But at their disposal, the ability to penalize.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, but it ends up they do.
Yes.
Okay.
The statute specifically authorizes that.
Yeah,
they do. But does the county have to prescribe that in order for them to use the penalty?
No, county's authority is simply to assist VDOT in enforcing the statute.
So the answer is they have the authority, they don't have the manpower.
Yes.
So therefore, they don't enforce it.
Yeah. So I mean, so what this is
a way to put it would have been. It's called for the
extra time.
Yeah, I mean, it would require staff to go out and, okay, we see a sign, we're going to have to go out, take a picture, fill in the form, and not that we're not saying you can't do it, that you have to spend it in the VDOT, and then they'll, you know.
You got a lunch break.
That's right, I drive up and down 53 on my lunch break.
Douglas and I were talking about this some earlier today, I mean, VDOT travels the roads.
Oh.
They are VDOT. I mean, I don't see, if you're in a truck and you're pulling out from Blue 53 at lunch, and at the bank there's 17 signs, I don't understand not just getting out and getting those. Maybe that's a conversation for Scott.
That's the easy part of it. You, then you have to keep track of the signs and dispose of them in appropriate ways.
Yeah.
Notify the owners, that kind of stuff. That's what takes time.
Scott said, he said, we take them down, they come right back up.
Yeah, but not if they penalize them.
If they penalize them.
At that time, the conversation was he has no authority to do anything about it.
Now, the one thing I will say, VDOT does have their secondary six-year plan public hearing coming up. Is it the public hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, public hearing coming up at the next meeting, the second meeting in May. So, again, if we want to bring this back for maybe some more, you know, questions to Mr. Thornton, we could do that. Because maybe there's some gray areas from the board standpoint before they say, yeah, we want to do this.
And you need time to notify people who are putting signs.
Well, yeah, I mean, there may be something that the county puts out, something that says, hey, look, you know, we're gonna start assisting VDOT and enforcing, helping VDOT enforce signs in their right-of-way. And so, we can either say, look, we're going to give you a one-month leeway to get your signs out of the way, or we're going to assist, or we just go out there and start picking up signs and start filling out forms. And
well, do we know that VDOT,
signs where the signs are saying, and the next time you'll be fine.
do we know that VDOT will go through the process to find those people?
What Mr. Thornton said is he said they would, and this is the mechanism from the county to assist in that. Now, again, you know, we could certainly ask Mr. Thornton at the next meeting, and I could make sure that he's got all of the all of the answers before he comes to the board.
I think some of the processing would necessarily fall back to the county. Things like having whoever is, let's say the zoning inspector is sent out authorized to do this, he would have to see it, identify it as being in the right of way.
Take a picture of it,
pull it up, and go through the paperwork chain to get it done. So that your point was well taken, Mr. Fairchild, in terms of why don't you just reach out the window and pull it out of the ground?
And you know,
it doesn't end the problem.
And from staff's point, I think one of the kind of gray areas for us is, where is that VDOT right-of-way? Because either someone's putting a sign on the VDOT right-of-way, or if not, it's on someone's private property. So we don't have the right to take it off someone's private property.
That person put it there, and we take it off, and they come after us.
Yeah, or someone put it on someone's private property without the private property's owner, without the proper private property's knowledge.
That's going to be what most often happens, I suspect.
I think the low-lying fruit is if it's on the corner at the stop sign.
Well, yes, underneath
the stop sign and the road, it's probably in the right way.
Yeah.
But that's where the mass of
that would be easy.
I drove through Louisa yesterday to do behind the wheel to get on the interstate at Ferncliff, and there's a certain candidate that has put signs on along the interstate entrance. I guarantee you that's
in the VDOT right away. Give you an idea, the usual secondary road that, you know, is a traditional road that hasn't been widened by action of somebody is presumed to be 30 feet
away from the road.
No, it's 15 feet
inside. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
From the center line.
The center line.
Center line, 15 feet over. Is if it's a 30 foot right away, it's from center line.
Most of the more modern roads that, and I would probably point to, for example, 616 is not as wide. It's wider than it has been in the past, and you can tell it's been straightened out in some places, things like that. We could find with the right away width is for that, but Mr. Dahl was right about the varying widths, because I think 250, for example, has a varying right away, but I think it's typically either 200 or 250, and so the major roads get typically have wider rights away, but they're not terribly difficult to find. The good thing about the primary ones is they all usually have VDOT markers on them.
So maybe
but if not, I mean, like I said, if we're trying to make sure, one, I don't want staff necessarily going out there with the tape measure going to the center line and trying to figure where it out. I mean, where that line is now, as Mr. Fairchild said, if you got a big batch of signs underneath the stop sign, I think it's pretty clear that it's in VDOT's right of way. But I think there may be some other circumstances that are maybe a little gray.
So I think it was Scott that said last time he was here, something never occurred to me. And the second he said it, it was like a bulb going off, that there's companies who are paid to go out and place those signs. So it's not like Joe Bob's local welding said, I'm going to put some signs out. Sometimes it is, but often it's somebody who, this is happening here in Albemarle, Louisa, blah, blah, blah. And it's just somebody who, evidenced by 540 phone numbers, I started noticing a lot after. So it's not like even in most cases we're even trying to protect locals. When it comes to the corner of Turkey Sag in 53, most of that wasn't locals. Most of that was people who are getting paid to set them out. And as you said, they're not gonna stop if they're not getting fined. And if they're not from here and they're willing to trash up our roads, then I say let's find them as quick as we can. And if they have the money for that, then somebody, you know, it's helping some element of that.
$100 a pop is a pretty,
pretty
good incentive.
I think we need to have a real campaign to make people knowledgeable first before we jump into the fine. And get some more knowledge ourselves. Yeah. Maybe if we see something, take a picture of it.
It shouldn't be waiting on us to take, if I can offer my opinion, to take pictures. We need to do something as a government that's not just lackadaisical. If somebody happens to see it, take a picture. We need to be
progressive. We're not saying we're not going to do something. Well, we're just saying we need to give people
self-correct. If VDOT already has the authority to do it, they don't need us to sign anything for them to do it. They just don't do it.
They don't have manpower. They say they don't have manpower to do it.
Right. And so we can say to them, well, we want you to do it. And they'll say, okay, well, we'll get around to it. And they won't do it.
So it's my question about if they're actually going to find them if we do send the pictures and so on. See what I'm saying? Are they going to go through the effort and process if they don't have the manpower?
So if county staff,
we would be doing all the work for them.
Yes. Yeah,
we're doing this work for them.
We're doing the work for them, so we're going to end up hiring more staff.
And the money goes to them.
We have to address that in budget season.
My opinion is, back to the $100 per time, per sign, doesn't take long to get the word across. It's you do a little work now to save a lot in the future. You're not going to get fined so many times to stop putting those signs on those corners. This, to me, you don't have to even think about the budget next year. This will go away.
Each of you has been a candidate for election, and you know what kind of budgets our local elections call for. How fast does that budget get drained at $100 a pop for a sign?
I don't even think he's talking as much about political signs. Right. I think he's talking about the people that put them up.
Well, that's
Joe's power wash.
But that's even Joe's power wash. You know, that's how many power washes get done for $100. You know, if you get five signs, all of a sudden somebody's got, in essence, a free car. Yeah.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if you're paying a company to put signs up, you as the business owner is ultimately responsible for what you're telling this company to do. I mean, if you're putting up their signs, I mean, if they're putting up your sign.
Sure, you are, but you don't know that they're doing that, and they put out 10 signs and you get a $1,000 fine.
Yeah.
Well, but they have a remedy for that, because that's clearly acting unlawfully under contract, clearly breaching that contract.
Right, I understand that, but I'm just saying, you know, for that kind of stuff, it's pretty petty. I mean, personally, I think we have enough with just blight enforcement in this county that we're not even doing right now, which makes the county not look so great either. I mean, there's other things out there that are bigger than this, you know, and I understand what you're saying. It isn't necessarily attractive, but do we want to have county manpower attracted to it? And I understand your point of saying, well, you only have to do it for a little while, and then it goes away. So maybe it goes away for a year and then comes back. I don't know the answer to that.
One thing I would emphasize on this is, to the extent that anybody is doing this, whether it's VDOT or the county, whoever it is, we would have to be careful to apply it equally to everybody similarly situated. So we couldn't go through and take down all the Joe's power wash, take all those down and leave up all the political signs. Political signs are entitled to the same treatment as other signs, but they're not necessarily entitled to preferential treatment.
Well, so we could not have a policy as a county that says you can have real estate signs up, but still penalize those who do the business signs? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think we'd have to do it to all violators.
I think we'd be opening ourselves up to be.
Let's be honest, too. A lot of those signs are not particularly cheap. They're $10, $15 a pop. You know, so you're taking those signs down. You know, that person's losing $10 or $15. If we're just aggressive in taking them down without finding.
He's also losing the benefit of it.
Losing the benefit
just
of the sign.
So for a political sign, for example, he puts up a sign 1st of September and the county takes it down, that's not getting any funds because it's not out there.
Right, right. There's nothing stopping the county, even without this agreement, from removing signs if we wanted to or not.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Even without this agreement, there's nothing stopping the county from removing the signs?
But the problem is
it's VDOT's right away, yeah. So...
And you still have to go through the process of taking the photographs and all that.
I think this statute is beneficial because it gives a clear mandate to VDOT to do it. But I think on the other hand, it mandates clearly that if the county wants to take action, they do it assisting VDOT.
Yeah, again, I mean, the last time when this conversation came up, and it was about the, and honestly, I haven't even looked again, you know, when Mr. Fairchild sent the picture about all the signs right under the stop sign by Turkey Tag. So, you know, we finally let Scott Thornton know, and they went out there, and I think he said they did pick them up. Now,
private citizen did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
It might be helpful if all the candidates and political jobs knew this was a law.
Exactly.
Because they may not know, and they may go out and put up signs. And
here it says a letter shall be sent to all political campaigns informing candidates of blanky blank the code of Virginia. The district will notify all congressional, state, and local election campaigns, attachment A. Mm-hmm. And so there's, attachment A is this letter right here that needs to be sent out.
So it'd be nice to know which counties are
doing this,
their experience is.
Yeah. Okay, number one is Fairfax, because that's where this originated.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, and maybe they're no longer doing it, so that's why I'm saying. You know, the statute may be there, and maybe they've stopped doing it because it didn't work. I don't know. It's just a question.
I would think that's
something. Yeah. Excuse me, Chris. Okay. So we have enough questions and concerns that you have that you can give to the presentation when he comes to help us.
So do you want us to bring this topic back up for a presentation at the next meeting and for them to bring the answers for, or do you want us to bring the agreement with a vote one way or the other.
I wouldn't want to vote on it without, without knowing what the experience of other counties.
So Fred, is there a distinction between if it's in somebody's yard, so I'm thinking political signs. So if it's in somebody's yard, that homeowner has said, I choose to support Jim. So I can put a sign for Jim political in my yard.
Yeah.
But if it's down on the corner of Turkey Sag and 53, and that's not in somebody's yard.
This procedure only applies within VDOT right of way.
But if it's in Jim's yard beside the road, it could be still in the right of way. So it'll still be in violation.
Oh, yeah.
It would, be my next question.
The ditch in front of my house is you know, it's my yard, but we got to cut it.
If you have it back maybe 20, 30 feet, but you're probably safe.
But we, that is VDOT right of way. So if somebody comes up and puts a sign on the slope down to my ditch, I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to take it down.
Yeah.
And if you have lighting, it's soon. But on the other hand, that's one where if I put up a sign that's clearly outside the right of way, I have a right to put up a sign for anybody I want.
Right.
Well, and take, say, Turkey Sag. You know, it depends on where it is on that Turkey Sag, because 5 feet over, it's personal property there. And I know that, you know, campaign signs are often put there.
And I don't
with the permission of the, with the permission of the owner, but they could be being put on.
Are you talking about across
the VDOT, right across on there? Likewise, you know, at the corner of Lake Monticello and North Boston, you have the same thing where the Long and Foster sign is there. You can have signs there as well too, but you know, if you're 2 feet the wrong way, you're on the VDOT, and you're, you know, which way?
And then our
real estate corner angle, and you got to triangulate this way, right?
My question would be this: is if we take a political sign and it was supposed to be there, isn't that a federal offense? Is some type of an offense?
We don't want to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
One thing to do is if you have it, you know, somebody comes in and puts a sign, you know, Joe's Car Wash, anything on the in front of my house within the right of way, that that enforcement of that is VDOT's responsibility. If he puts it in my outside the right of way on my property, that's up to me. And you know, you are not entitled to use my property for your purposes without my permission. And so what I was going to suggest is that if there's a question with the, this smaller, especially the smaller roads, one easy way to do it is if it looks like it might be outside the right-of-way on somebody else's property, contact the owner of the property. I mean, if this, if you've authorized this sign to be here, is it on your property? So show me where the line is.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't show you where VDOT's right way ends and mine begins.
You come pretty close.
And real estate signs would apply too, right? A realtor sign.
Correct. On for this statute?
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing this thing covers more than signs.
Yeah, it's got to be some.
If you read it, it's kind of funny because it talks about painted rocks and stuff like that.
That they have. There's a. Anything
on the side of the road.
Then.
And posts and. You know, one thing that used to happen a lot, it doesn't happen as much anymore, is people stapling up signs on existing poles, like utility poles,
and they still do
or street
it.
Signs.
They tape those onto the metal road signs all the time.
That's within the scope of the statute.
Yeah.
If you want to do it anyway, you get a license from VDOT.
Whatever we do, I don't want us to drop this and go, everybody's overworked, and it'd be a lot of burden to figure out the right way in between, and hopefully there's some sort of gray area somewhere that we can figure out something, and because it's enough of a mess where so many people are now on social media talking about the trash in Flavanna, and then this is just like throwing trash down the corner. And by the way, on that subject, my understanding from a few years ago was that once somebody puts a sign in the right-of-way, they basically discard it. That In other words, if somebody went and got it and said, I'm not going to let that sit up in my community on the corner, that, and they say, well, I'll sue you for taking my sign. And the person says, wait a minute, you threw your sign away. You threw it out on the side of the road. You can't, you know, it's like a napkin from McDonald's out on the side of the road. Is that, would you find that to be legally true?
I would say probably, but I think very well. Let me give you the lawyer's answer.
It depends. Yeah.
And it does to some extent depend. I think the most effective way to do it would be to have VDOT do it, because they have unchallengeable authority to do it. And I think the first time that happens a couple times, words will get around pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, Joe for the power wash is going to find himself, you know, he put up 50 signs and all of them are in a right of way. That's
$5,000.
Yeah. But I think if we put anything in place, if we cannot implement it, then we don't need to do it. Because you may be able to do it for some, and some other people won't see that. So it's going to be pretty tough to just jump into this. I really think we need to, we'll talk about it some more, put some clear direction so that, you know, that we can enforce what we're saying. Because if we can't, then there's no need to.
You know, one thing you might suggest to the staff is that as they're going around making, you know, just making the rounds in the county, if they see signs that appear to be within VDOT right away, take a picture of them and make a list. Mm-hmm. And that will give you some idea of the magnitude of the problem.
Well, again, too, if you remember, going back to the VDOT's work order site, any citizen can submit something into VDOT's work order site, hey, we see all these signs in the right-of-way, and the VDOT work order system, that's what they use to schedule their people in you know, addressing certain areas, whether it's, you know, they get 37 people that say, you know, there's a lot of trash at this section of Route 53. Well, probably the more squeaky wheels they get, they're going to make sure that they get their VDOT staff prioritizing that work order to go out there and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, again, if they got a lot of requests for, you know, people, hey, you know, this intersection of you know, 53 and Turkey Say, you know, right underneath the stop sign, there's always, you know, people's, you know, business signs and stuff like that, you can submit that into the VDOT work order and they will take care of it. They may not be instant, but that's in their work order system.
Well, I agree with that. I think it'd be more bullets in the gun. You know, we are the elected officials that are paid to deal with VDOT. That's why we get a report from VDOT and so on in that relationship. So, and I know you get that.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's just another trigger we can pull, or the public can pull too.
So what would if, Moselle, when you say keep having the conversation, I mean, there's a lot that we've had a lot of conversations on that in government that don't have closure on it. I mean, I would want to know what our next steps are.
That's up to us to bring that closure. And I think that what we said was we were going to share all of our questions and not sure about different things when the VDOT person comes. And then we want to make sure that whatever we come up with is that the public is aware and it's not sprung on them, and that we can enforce it. And so it's up to us to make the motion, to second it, whatever, and vote on it, and carry that. But we're not there yet. I don't think we are.
No, and I don't agree. I don't think we are either. I just want to be sure we don't set this on the shelf. That we know what our next steps of conversation are.
Yeah, I mean, since VDOT's coming they're supposed to be coming to the next meeting, we could have this right on the next meeting, and we can try and get some of those answers. Get some of the answers to some of the questions, you know, which other counties have it, you know, is VDOT actually gonna enforce the $100 levy if county staff goes through the efforts of removing the signs, doing the documentation and all that. And
now, did you say you're gonna email him questions ahead so he's prepared to answer those?
I mean, if board members have some questions
I mean, just for example, you just named off a couple of them.
Yeah.
I think you should let him know ahead of time. So
My suggestion would be if you've got a question you want Mr. Dahl to forward to him, just email Mr. Dahl the question, and then he can compile a list of them and send them off.
Yeah, I mean, just the biggest thing for me is I see as I'm looking at this section here, it says the right-of-way should be verified prior to removal of sign. And so that's one question, an important question that I have to make sure that staff is not actually removing a sign that's not in VDOT right-of-way but on someone's private property. And then you get into a whole different can of worms, too. So I would probably take the approach of making sure it was clearly in VDOT right away if it's being removed, if there was a gray area there.
Right. Okay, anything else you want to add before we move on?
Not for me.
Okay. So we are now at the consent agenda. Minutes of April 19, 2023. That's E, F, Fluvanna Green Intergovernmental Car Share Agreement. G, resolution authorizing execution of Virginia Water and Wastewater Agency Response Network mutual aid agreement by Fluvanna County. H, am I reading the same one twice?
Nope, okay. They're different. One's Fluvanna County, one's for Fusion.
Resolution authorizing execution of Virginia Water and Wastewater Agency Response Network mutual aid agreement by the Falk Union Sanitary District. I, Dewberry Engineers Corporation Project Agreement 19. J, RK, Chevrolet Vehicle Purchase Agreement. K, job description updates for the EMT Basic Life Support, BLS, and EMT Advanced Life Support, ALS. L, new job description, information technology systems engineer. M, CRMS, Fluvanna County Water Plant Pump. Anyone like to remove any of those from that consent? Agenda for further discussion? If not, then we have a motion to accept the consent agenda. And a second, please.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Mrs. O'Brien. Mr. O'Brien, second on his.
Don't make that mistake.
All in favor.
Mr. O'Brien's life is a big day.
All in favor.
Aye.
All right. Chair votes aye. Now, unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business? New business. And we have the board. Salary.
Yeah, BLS salary. So just one thing. So every 2 years, it is up to the preceding board to determine if they want a salary increase for the board that is beginning starting this coming January. It has to be done prior to June 30th of this year. And the reason I'm bringing it up now is we just every year through VACO. We get an update. All localities submit, you know, what are the current salaries for their board of supervisors, whether it's chair, vice chair, or other board members. And so we get a big compilation of board amounts that they get paid, you know, we get the population, all that. So we have that information. So we can come up with, like I've done in the past, showing what similar boards are, but really it's up to this board to determine, do they want to give the future board a salary increase?
And we have to do it back
by June 30th.
June, okay.
Yes, and so we've got three meetings, I mean, that I could bring it back before the board. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's useful to see what other counties are doing. Yeah. I mean, I know that, I think the school board, and I this was kind of an odd thing, but I think the I don't know this, I haven't verified with the school board, but I think that the school board is doing basically whatever COLA goes to the employees, they do to the board, which I thought was very odd. But, you know, it was one of those like, huh, that's interesting. And it wasn't even being done by the school board. So that's what there's.
What do you mean it wasn't being done? I thought you said, is the school board doing
it? It's just being done by the administration. Because they're the ones that pay it out to the board, I guess, is the way that works. I don't know. That was seemed very odd to me.
It would seem
odd
to me.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
That seems that would be a nightmare in the county.
Yeah, I don't
know. A small number.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, no. It's. I mean, you're talking a baseline of, you know, $1,000 a month, so 13, I mean, a 5% isn't a big number, right, on something like that. But
yeah.
I thought that was very weird. And I probably shouldn't have said it in public because I don't know that for a fact. But that was mentioned to me as what they do. And I was like,
So what do we get paid?
Do that. We don't do that. We just every.
Oh, what do you get paid?
No, what do we get paid?
I think the chair is 12. A little over 10 something, between 10 and 11. I think it's like 10.7 or 10.8. The vice chair is probably $500 below that.
12,
yeah, I think it's 12, 11, and 10.
I don't.
12, 11, and 10.
12 for the chair, 11 for the vice chair.
And 10 for the.
I didn't know you all made more money.
Yeah.
Well, she
got, that's why you wanted
she
to
get got, it. We, you know, we gave up that extra money for
them. Yeah, the chair. It's a little bit more. It's not a whole lot if you need.
By the time health insurance comes out,
no.
Before we got a raise, I paid a check to do this job. Get yelled at.
Is that right? Yeah.
So I mean, normally what I would do, I would bring back a comparison showing. Well, so here are the salaries, and normally we would pick localities that are within a similar population range. Normally, what I picked between, I think it was localities probably between, I think it was like 25 to 35,000 population, and choose those like localities to show what the salaries or the pay amounts are for the board.
I thought about going to Fairfax and run.
We could bring up Fairfax.
$100,000.
Remember, you got to live there.
Oh! My memory is that the statute authorizing payment of supervisors is a little convoluted, and I think there's a couple of alternative ways to do it. We have to make sure that this data fit within those rules. I don't remember what they are as we speak, but they're set out in the statute.
And for Chris's information, since I've been on the board 10 years, we've only voted on this once, and I think that when we voted on it that one time, it hadn't been voted on in like 13, 14 years either or something like that.
I know in the 11, 12 years I've been here, I think it's been twice, maybe twice.
Right,
maybe.
Twice, yeah, because twice. We missed the deadline one time.
I think we voted on it, and I think we went to what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I think we came back 4 years later and went, we got a big raise.
Yeah.
We got a $1,000 raise.
I know what's happened since I've been in this position. So I think that was 2 years ago that the board approved for an increase.
Yes.
And then it was probably...
I think it's 12.
It was probably a good while ago, probably... When Mr. Nichols was here, probably.
Yes, well, we did the first year we got on, and
right.
The second, and then
Mr. Nichols saying that he missed the deadline.
Mm. Yeah. Right, we missed
and
it
we
one,
could,
which
right.
He wanted to do it one.
Yes.
I think he wanted to do it our first year, but they couldn't.
Right.
The basic point of that statute is it prevents you from increasing your own salary.
Because we don't know.
It's only on election years.
Yeah.
And is it when it's the majority, or can it be done at either time?
No, it's either time. Again, it's during the election year. So then 2 years down the road after, when there's another board up for election, the same thing would come up again.
So you're going to bring it to us when?
I could probably bring it to you at the next meeting.
Okay.
Caroline's real. I talked to one of the supervisors, Caroline, board of directors.
So I want to mention, somewhere around 2008 or so, I was pretty involved in the county and doing stuff in committees and coaching and so on. And I remember being at a board of supervisors meeting, and I don't know what the conversation was that came up, but having been a volunteer who put in a lot of hours and so many things, I didn't know the board got paid. I remember sitting there going, wait a minute, how come they get paid when all the coaches and the firefighters and everybody else putting in so many hours of services community get paid? How does that match up? And I still can't say today I can really answer the question. I'm not talking about the legalities of it, but
it's not a volunteer job though. I mean, you can choose to do it that way, but it's not a volunteer job.
No
you
way.
Put a lot of time and energy, not just doing the job, but also being out in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being available also, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You also put your own personal investment in when you run.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different than a volunteer from that standpoint.
Yeah. And I'm not saying the fact that people do get paid. I don't know that I want to to say it publicly, but it doesn't enhance my life. I'm not doing it. It's not going into my personal
account. I don't think anybody here is surviving.
I'm just saying that. It's not,
like
I'm paying
I said, I wrote a check.
I didn't get on the board.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the motivation.
Yeah.
Just like somebody running the boys' baseball program doesn't go on to get paid even if they got paid. But I think with the economy, and we'll talk about this again when it comes back up,
yeah.
I think with the economy going where it's at and the increases we just had in taxes and so on, I just could not imagine voting to increase
yeah.
our
the
income.
The thing is, if you're on the board and we vote to increase it, you can take the money that you're getting, give it to any charity that you so desire.
That's what I do.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you give
that's
it away rather than just leave it here. So I think that's something because, you know, what I get, that means I can give more to nonprofits or I can give extra.
Well, the theory of this is that since you all have the highest level of power of any entity in the county, you can affect people's lives as a matter of law. And the idea is that it promotes honesty for people with that sort of power to be paid for their actions. Otherwise, they might be tempted to try to get paid for something else.
Interesting. Never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it hurts the logo, but you know, even if we did talk about a raise, you're talking about something so stinking modest, it's not.
It's not going to break the budget. I can tell you that.
When you look at the counties to our north, and not just Norton, but Northern Virginia, they got 8-person staffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 7-person staffs. They don't write anything. They just go in there and here you go, take a look at this.
Thank goodness that's not us.
Even if you did a 10% raise on the board, and I'm not saying that we would, you're talking $5,000, which will come out of the contingency fund. Right? It's not actually going to come.
It will come out of taxpayers.
The rate's already baked in, right? So it's not going to come out of taxpayers in a new form, right?
Yeah.
It's already baked in.
Yeah. Okay, any other discussion?
So I'll look to see what the meetingness is of the next meeting, but it'll either be the next meeting or the first meeting in June over here.
All right. Any other questions or concerns before I go to the second public comments from us? All right, if not, I'll open.
I was going to bring up one thing. I just went down to the board of directors meeting last week. Thursday and Friday
for Vaco.
Mm-hmm. And went down to Lancaster and we had a great conference. One of the big things that we talked about and several of us got, it became, I won't say an intense discussion, but yeah, that's a good way to describe it. But it was a discussion, not an argument. When we talked about comp board and looking into fire and rescue, the comp board deals with everything else, but yet fire and rescue give nothing. And counties are left to deal with that on their own. And we talked about the policies that are causing volunteerism to go diminish. That's a good way to put it. And the things that we can do to increase that. So that's one of the things. But they got back to us, and the state has got a work group right now looking into how to fund fire and rescue, help with the funding, like as they do with deputies and so forth. One of the other things that we did was they showed us some of the great stuff. There was a couple that moved into Lancaster and donated $20 million to build a community, I don't even know how to describe it, just a fun place. They gave them $20 million to build a 5-theater, rock wall, bumper cars, putt-putt, go-karts, you name it. They had it. I looked down and said, I raised my hand. I said, do you have a question? I said, yes, sir. I said, do they have any cousins looking to move out? And the last thing I will say is, you know, we talk about how different businesses can show up in different places. Now, we can't have anything like this, but how many people here just think to yourselves, there's only me, show of hands, take fish oil pills or something with fish oil?
Mm-hmm.
The American fish oil that's made with Menhaven, yes, is made in Lancaster County.
What?
They took us on a tour of the facility down there. So all the omega-3 and all the high dollar, but it was just talking about the different stuff. I just wanted to give you all some of the things that happened down there, and I'll tell you other stuff.
Yeah, I like
those
that.
Are probably, but yeah. The one about the fire and rescue, that's something that will be big for all counties. Because listening to the raises, people like in Rico, thank goodness we didn't throw them in there, but the comment was made that their plan is to become the highest paid county in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. You see how much money Shawlsfield is putting into Beaufort? Millions of dollars. They're redoing Beaufort, Beaufort, and they're doing 5, 6, 7, and 8 at Beaufort and Walker. My old stomping ground's going to be some kind of a small child, some kind of other kind of son. Anybody else who, you know, that's
sorry,
one
thing.
I
wanted to give an update, and I apologize for being
no,
late.
No. That's what we should be doing. If you've gone to any of your boards or commissions and you want to share anything and bring us up to date, we appreciate that tonight, because we do need to keep up with everything that we're doing and we're involved in, and the community needs to hear that we do. When we leave here, we go to different things. Parks and Recreation, and Social Services, and there it goes.
Well, those are Rivanna River Basin
Commission.
They're reaching out to the counties to try to get them to put together their environmental plan.
Yes.
There's a question survey that hopefully has been reached out to.
Yeah,
there's a lot of dollars out there for doing some of these things, and they're not being taken advantage of.
Yeah, because Tony and I went to that meeting up in Charlottesville, last week?
A couple weeks ago,
Yes. Very interesting.
They're just abatement of...
There was a fundraiser today for firemen and rescues at Veterans, and I think it was successful.
Wow.
And that's one thing we need to remember is, the only reason I knew about it, couldn't go because I'm in school, but anyway.
I found out about it on the radio.
The radios do a lot of announcements for nonprofit. Yeah. I mean, 997 was talking about that the whole time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I bet you I heard that announcement 10 times. Hopefully they did well.
Mm-hmm. I hope so too. Okay, well, thank you all for...
I wanted to say that before we got out of closed session.
Now, are we ready for closed session?
Second round.
I got to do a second round. Yep. Yeah, I'll get to that, and Mike stopped my
hand
dropping.
I'm sorry. Apologize.
But I'm glad you did. All right, I'm going to open the second public comments. Anyone would like to speak to the board, please come to the lectern, give your name, address, and speak to the board. Anyone online, please raise your hand, or we will seek fill you up. Thank you. Anyone like to come? It's open. Anyone online?
No. Well, I shouldn't say that. I see Kelly and Cindy Hoffman, so I'm assuming Cindy Hoffman's the only one online.
Yeah. All right. So we will close the second. Public comments.
Madam Chair, I move that Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1 and Section 2.2-3711A5 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing personnel, county attorney position, and prospective industry, prospective business update. So hopefully we'll be very excited.
Okay. All right. We have a motion going to close session by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Sheridan, all in favor?
All right.
All right. I don't think we'll have anyone who's going to oppose. The chair for that. Okay. We are in now in closed session.
Yeah, right.
Madam Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
All right.
Second.
I have a motion to reconvene from closed session from Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Sheridan. All in favor?
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
Roll call.
Aye.
All right, Chris.
Aye.
I heard you. Ms. Jacob.
Aye.
And Ms. Sheridan.
Aye.
And Chair votes aye.
Madam Chair, motion to adjourn.
Okay. Do we have to have a second on adjourn?
Yes.
Why?
You got one, just because I want to get my...
I call the vote.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn, and Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Chair, and all in favor?
Aye.
And Chair votes aye.